evening, everyone. Last week I was in Shul learning in the afternoon, and it started pouring outside. I hadn't brought my raincoat. I had arranged to meet my wife at a certain time, and I came running home, and even though we live relatively close by, there was a torrential downpour, and my jacket was soaked. So the question is, when I come home, what am I allowed to do with my jacket? Can I hang it up in the bathroom, which is what I would normally do during the week if I had a wet suit jacket? Can I hang it up in the clothing closet? Do I have to throw it on the floor? Can I put it on the clothing rack? What's the halacha? So, as you see from the Makoros, the first source tells us that the Mishnah tells us that if someone's clothing gets wet along the way, he can hang them out to dry. When he reaches the outskirts of the town and he finds a safe place to put his clothing down, he can put his clothing out to dry. However, he could only do it in a private place, not in a place where anyone could see him. Why? If someone saw him, he might be suspected of having laundered his clothing on Shabbos. It's an issur d'oraisa to launder your clothing. So this fellow, let's imagine for the moment that his clothing are wet because he fell in the river, and he now wants to hang his clothing out to dry or spread them out to dry. So the Mishnah tells us he could do so if he's not going to be seen. But if he's going to be seen, it's asur because of Maris Ayin. The Gemara says this contradicts a rule of Rav. Rav writes that any time something is asur because of Maris Ayin, it's asur whether it's in public or in private. Meaning to say, even if I do it b'chadrei chadarin, in a closed off room, in a place where I'm sure nobody's going to see me, nobody's going to suspect me of doing anything wrong, nevertheless, I may not hang up my clothing. We apply the principle of Maris Ayin even b'chadrei chadarim. So the Gemara asks, that contradicts the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it's okay. So the Gemara says, you're right, it does contradict Rav, and it's in fact a machlokas tanaim. One opinion says, and this is the opinion of our Mishnah, that Maris Ayin is only relevant in a place where I might get caught. So if I'm b'chadrei chadarim, if I know nobody's going to see me, it's all right. I know what I'm doing is right. I know that my clothing are wet because I fell in the river, not because I laundered them. As long as I'm confident nobody's going to see me, it's okay. And Rav holds no, it's aser across the board. And our Mishnah goes against Rav, but Rav holds like other Tanaim. How do we paskin? It's actually a machlokas rishonim. Some say we should paskin like the Stam Mishnah against Rav. Others say no, we should paskin like Rav. The Gemara always invokes his principle. And Rav Rishonim, as well as the Shulchan Aruch, paskin like Rav. So it turns out, halach l'maisa, that when I came home from Shul, even if I close my bathroom door, I lock it, I close the window shades, nobody's going to see me, I still can't hang up my jacket, seemingly, in my bathroom for it to dry. Why? Somebody may suspect me of having laundered it. Well, the question arises that, in this case, it's obvious to anyone that sees me that I didn't launder my suit jacket. Why? Because everybody knows that it just rained. And nobody reasonable would ever suspect me of having laundered it. Meaning to say, presumably the idea of chadrei chadarim is, now this is a presumption, not everybody accepts this, as we'll see shortly, but many do, is that chadrei chadarim is asur such that if someone were to theoretically see me, they would think I did something asur. Well, if anyone were to see me, nobody would think I did anything asur because everybody knows that it just poured.
We don't wash the stuff anyway. We send it to the cleaner.
Moreover, excellent. A number of poskim, including Rav Moshe, makes this point over here. You have it in the left column that nobody ever washes their suit jackets at home or raincoats at home. They send it to the cleaner. And based off of that reason, Rav Moshe is actually makel. He says, "Pashut shebegadim shein darkan lechabson mutar lishtoach kishenaflu b'mayim o shenaflu alav harbe geshamim." Excellent. So what you said is correct. However, what about the following scenario? What about my kids' clothing? They also got wet. Their jacket got wet. So, you'll tell me nobody washes kids' clothing. So just earlier this week, right before then, before Shabbos, my wife, washed in the washing machines all the kids' coats. She figured winter finally ended, after a couple of false starts. She could wash all the winter coats and hung them out to dry. So that svara doesn't apply in the case of kids' coats. Right? Kids' coats are definitely washed in a washing machine and hang to dry. So now, the question is this going to be okay? So I thought it should still be mutter. Why? It's true, people sometimes launder at home their kids' coats, but in this case, everybody knows it just rained. The problem with my pshat is that what is our Gemara talking about? So according to Tosfos, we're talking about a case where the clothing fell into the river. And likewise, that's what Rashi says in our Sugyan, Kuf Mem Vav. However, Rashi earlier on Samachay says, Mishinashu Kelav Bederech B'mei Geshamim. Sounds like it's Aser even if it just got rained on. Unless you say it means it fell into a pool of rainwater. That's actually what I thought Rashi might mean, and that prevents there from being a steer in Rashi, but I'm not convinced that's correct. And the Mishnah Berurah mentions rainwater as well. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah on the left column of page 1, he says that even if it's just your clothing are wet because it rained on them, there's still this Isser of Maris Ayin and even Bechadri Chadarm. So it sounds to me then that the Mishnah Berurah is saying it's a low plug. In other words, it's Aser no matter what. Even though everybody's going to know that they're just wet because of the rain, still it's a low plug. You're never allowed to hang up clothing to dry. But at the same time, the Mishnah Berurah clearly doesn't hold it's a low plug, because the Mishnah Berurah also says when it comes to certain things that it's obvious that they are being hanged to dry, not because they were laundered, it's okay. The Mishnah Berurah gives the examples of cloth diapers. So what happens if your cloth diaper gets wet? The baby urinates on the cloth diaper. So he says he thinks it's okay to hang it up. Why? Because people will assume that you're hanging it up because it's dirty, not because it was just cleaned. So I'm misupik. It seems that the Mishnah Berurah is willing to be lenient when it's obvious that these things weren't laundered, like in the case of the diapers, but yet he's machmir in the case of rain, even though I would have thought that any time it rained, it's obvious that they weren't laundered, or at least it's any reasonable person will assume that it's being hanged up for the rain. Rav Avadya is also makel in the case of rain, but also only in a case where it's something that wouldn't be laundered. So I didn't see anyone that says this would be mutter, though I'm not quite sure why. Again, I understand in terms of the Makoros why it should be asur. Rashi says rainwater. But nevertheless, why anyone would have to be suspicious of this. I saw other poskim are also lenient if you hang it up in your coat closet. Meaning to say, nobody washes, I wouldn't say nobody, but generally speaking, if you wash something to launder it, you don't hang it to dry in the coat closet. So that's another situation where one could be lenient. So it sounds like halacha l'maisa, one can be makel for their suit jacket or their raincoat that's not laundered at home to hang it up in a jacket if it rained. Whether we would be lenient for children's clothing, I'm less sure. I would have thought it's mutter, but it sounds like from the poskim that it should be aser. The next question that we have to discuss here, a very basic question, is as follows. The lashon of the Gemara of Rav, if you take a look, is kol makom she'asru chachamim mipnei maris ayin afilu b'chadrei chadar maser. Now, that could be interpreted in one of two ways. One way to understand it is as follows. Anytime there's an iser because of maris ayin, meaning to say they made a gzeira, kol makom she'asru chachamim, they said, you cannot do activity X because of maris ayin, that's when we apply the principle of chadrei chadarim. But if there's a concern of Maris Ayin, but it's not a gzeira mishum Maris Ayin, then it would be okay. Let me give you an example that came up as well for me. So the sink in our bathroom broke, meaning to say that the faucet came off. So the question is, am I allowed to take a pliers to turn the sink on and off? Now, strictly speaking, that should be okay. You're allowed to use a pliers on Shabbos for this purpose because it's a klish m'lachto l'isr l'tzarach gufo, as we've discussed. It's not considered fixing anything because I'm not fixing the sink at all. I'm simply using the pliers to turn the faucet since the knob, the handle, came off. So it should be okay. So I thought this would be okay. But then I thought maybe this should be usr. Why? Because if anybody sees me doing what I'm doing, they will think that I'm fixing the sink. It looks like I'm fixing the sink. After all, I have a tool, I have a broken sink, and I'm working on it. And the onlooker might not realize that I'm simply using the tool to turn it on. The onlooker might think I'm fixing the sink, which is certainly an iser deraisa, so maybe it should be aser. So then I thought, okay, well, that would still be okay. I'll close the door. But then I said, one second, no, we know Chadri Chadarim. But then I thought, oh, it will be okay, because this isn't a case where Chazal said it's Aser Mishum Maris Ayin. I'm concerned about Maris Ayin. But maybe we only say the rule of Chadri Chadarim when Amru Chachamim She'aser Mipnei Maris Ayin. But then I remembered the Tosos and Ksubos. And I was outside of the bathroom, of course, when I was thinking all of this. And the Tosos and Ksubos really undermines what I thought would be okay. Tosus and Ksubos ask the following question. The Gemara says over there that something gets stuck in my gutter and it's going to mess up my house, so I'm allowed to kick it and clear it up. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan of clearing the gutter? No. B'makom hefseid, you're allowed to do a melacha klachar yad. Another time we could talk about the parameters of that rule. But Tosfos asks, then the Gemara says, though, you have to do it betzina, memacho betzina. Do it in a way that nobody sees what you're doing. Tosfos says, one second, betzina. Why? Sounds like over here that it's permissible to do it if nobody sees because there's no maris ayin, but if somebody were to see, if you're to do it publicly, it would be aser because of maris ayin. Tosfos says, one second, that goes against the principle that we say in Shabbos of kol makom she'aser mipnei maris ayin, afilu b'chadrei chadarim aser. So what do you see from the Gemara? You see that anything that I can't do publicly, I can't even do b'chadrei chadarim. So how could the Gemara say, memacho b'raglo b'tzin, I could kick it, I could fix it, as long as nobody sees me? So Tosfos, before we get to his answer, we see from his question that he disagrees with my assumption. Later, if we have time, we'll see that there are those that agree with my assumption. But Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos understands that the principle of kol makom she'asru chachamim b'nei maris ayin is true any time there would be maris ayin. Because this case, it's not like they made a gzeira, this is aser mishum maris ayin. The reason why it's aser is because maybe somebody will see. And Tosfos said that's an across-the-board rule. Every single time, if it were to be the case that if somebody were to see me, it would be aser mishum maris ayin, they would suspect me of doing something wrong, then it's aser even if I'm b'chadrei chadarim. That's the basis of Tosus's question. What does Tos answer? Tosus answers a fascinating idea, that rule is limited to isurei deraisa, meaning to say if they would suspect me of doing an isur deraisa, then it's aser afilu b'chadrei chadarim. Here, even if they saw me, what would they suspect me of doing? An isur d'rabbanan, because I'm simply fixing my gutter k'l'achar yad. And therefore, we're more lenient when it comes to Yisurei D'Rabbanan. We only say it's Aser if I would be seen. It's not Aser if I wouldn't be seen. The Ritva and Shabbos gives a different answer to this question. Maybe we'll return to it later. But that's Tosus' principle. Tosus' principle is important in its own right, but it's also because it tells us that the principle of Chadri Chadarim, at least with respect to Yisurei D'Rabbanan, is across the board. It's not just in cases where Chazal say it's Aser Mishum Maris Ayin. It's Aser any time Maris Ayin would be relevant. So that's the Chiddush of Tosfos. And therefore, according to Tosfos, it would be aser for me to use the pliers to turn my sink on and off, even if I lock the door, even if it's Chadri Chadarim. Why? Because if anybody saw me doing this, they might suspect me of doing an Isser Deraisa, because fixing your sink is an Isser Deraisa. And therefore, it should be aser even b'Chadri Chadarim. So according to Tosfos, I shouldn't be able to use the pliers to fix my sink, presumably.
So cracking the nuts and keeping the door open with a pencil, all these cases, people might think I'm writing.
What? Nobody would think you're writing. You don't have to be worried about far-fetched, crazy scenarios. If you say that my concern that people will think I'm fixing things is a far-fetched, crazy scenario, then it might be mutter because of that. But as we'll see shortly, far-fetched, crazy scenarios, you don't have to be concerned about.
Holding a pencil in my hand is far-fetched?
You pick up, well, assuming a pencil...
I'm using this to keep the door open.
If you think, you have to, in each and every case, and we're going to see if we have time, numerous examples that the post can apply this principle. But in each and every case, I have to ask myself, is it reasonable to assume a person would think that I'm violating an Isur D'Oraisa if they saw me? If the answer is yes, then I may not do it, even b'chadrei chadarim. That's correct. Now, in each and every case, we'll have to analyze, is this something that people will suspect me, or is this a far-fetched scenario, and it's not reasonable that people will suspect me? And in each case, you'll have to assess that. And we'll see some examples of the poskim. Okay, next question I want to deal with is a fascinating one, which is, we sometimes see the term chshad used, and sometimes we see the term maris ayin used. Are they the same, or are they different? For example, the Gemara in Shabbos says that you should leave peya besoch sadehu, you should leave the designated portion for the paupers at the edge of your field. Otherwise, if you leave it in the middle of your field, people will be choshesh after the aniyim have taken it, that you didn't leave peya. Mipnei hachshad. So is chshad the same or different from marasayim? So Rav Moshe Feinstein claims that when we use the term chshad, that's referring to an iser d'oraisa, based off of the pasuk, you have it on the left column of page one, of Vayisim Nikiyim Me'ashem Umi Yisrael, that you should be innocent in the eyes of God and in the eyes of man. Anytime I do something that people will think I'm doing something wrong, that's an issur d'oraisa, and that's when the term chshad is used. When is the term maris ayin is used? The term maris ayin is only midrabanan. And there's two categories of maris ayin. Category number one of maris ayin is where people will not suspect me of doing something wrong, but they will extrapolate from what I'm doing the incorrect halacha. So people will not see me. They won't say, ah, he's a mechal Shabbos. They'll say, oh, I see what he's doing. Well, it's mutter to do this as well. But they'll be wrong, because what they're going to derive an erroneous conclusion. That's category one of Maris Ayin. And he says, that's only Asur Midrabanan. Category two of Maris Ayin is also a situation that's only Midrabanan. It doesn't rise to the level of Chshad, but it's a little bit far-fetched. Not meaning to say, a reasonable person would not presume I'm doing something wrong. But in certain cases, even though this is a little bit far-fetched, Chazal goes there, Mishum Maris Ayin. He gives the example of Kablanus and Schiras. Technically speaking, you could hire workers that are Kablanim to build for you on Shabbos, not Schirim. Shouldn't technically be Aser to hire Kablanim on Shabbos, because why would anybody suspect that I'm hiring Schirim? They'll assume it's Kablanim. But because people might suspect me, they were misakein that it's Aser, Maris Ayin. That's Rav Moshe's theory. There's some problems in Rav Moshe's theory. For example, even though when it comes to Peah, our Gemara calls that Chshad, but if you look at the Tosefta has the same exact words, but it switches it to Maris Ayin. And other poskim disagree with Rav Moshe. Some people say the exact opposite of Rav Moshe. But what's interesting about Rav Moshe is that, again, there are two categories. There's Chshad, which is D'oraisa. There's Maris Ayin, which is Midrabanan, specifically where they're misaking it, where it doesn't rise to a level of Maris Ayin. So, the next... so much to do. We'll just pick one more short thing. The following interesting point. If you take a look at the section on page 4, Rav Moshe was asked, is wearing a shetel, a married woman wearing a wig, aser because of Maris Ayin? After all, there's an obligation for married women to cover their hair, and if you're wearing a shetel, people might think that this is your natural hair, you're not covering it. So Moshe says, first of all, most people could tell anyway, at least the women. Second of all, he says, well, you're right, maybe some people won't be able to tell, but Chazal didn't prohibit it, meaning to say, they didn't make a takana for Maris Ayin in this instance. Now, when you read this tshuva at first, it sounds like he's saying that the only time Maris Ayin is relevant is where the Gemara applies the principle. We don't make up our own cases of Maris Ayin. The problem with saying that is Rav Moshe doesn't hold like this. First of all, though there are some poskim that say this, we paskin like the Ramah, in the case, if any of you saw it, of the almond milk, that at least with the Deraisa, there is Maris Ayin. And Rav Moshe and a whole slew of other tshuvos, many of which you have here, like the elevator case, and the non-kosher restaurant case, he says, oh, this is Asur because of Maris Ayin, this is Asur because of Maris Ayin. It's not in the Gemara. So Rav Moshe doesn't hold that. So what does Rav Moshe mean? Rav Moshe is saying that this case is far-fetched, right? Because most people will not assume it's your natural hair. They'll assume it's a shetel. They know that there's such a thing as shetla, so why would you suspect this woman of not keeping the halacha? So therefore, they're not going to be choshesh. But we find some cases where we're concerned even with far-fetched fears. True, but that's only where the Gemara said it. If the Gemara didn't say it, then there's no need to be concerned if it's far-fetched, if it's plausible, if it's likely, if it's the most reasonable conclusion, somebody will suspect that I'm doing something wrong, so then it's aser, even though it's not in the Gemara. But if it's a far-fetched conclusion, so then if the Gemara says it's aser misha maris ayin, then it's aser. But in cases where the Gemara didn't say it, so then it's okay. One last case. The Ramah writes that if you're having chicken with almond milk, that's okay. But if you're having meat with almond milk, you should put some almonds around so people don't think this is actual meat. You're eating basar v'chalav, people will realize it's par of almond milk. What's the difference between meat and chicken? Because basar of b'chalav is only asar midrabanan, basar b'chalav is asar midaraisa. Sounds like the Rama is saying there's no maris ayin when it comes to an issur d'rabanan. So the Shach gets all upset. There's a half a dozen places in Shas where we find maris ayin for an issur d'rabanan as well. So what is the Shach's defense of the Rama? He rejects it. Is there any defense? So the Nachlas Tzvi gives the following answer. He says the Rama is talking about chadrei chadarim. Nobody's going to see me eating this if it's an issur d'oraisa. So then there's an issur maris ayin b'chadrei chadarim. But if it's an issur d'rabbanan, then as long as I'm confident nobody's going to see me, it's okay. Others say no. Actually, it's only when it comes to Shabbos that we have this principle of maris ayin in a din d'rabbanan. All the cases that the Shach asks are from chilul Shabbos. Why would that be? Why is Shabbos different? So one reason for this that Rav Moshe gives is that when it comes to Shabbos, if you violate Shabbos even in issur d'rabbanan, Tosfos rules your mechalel Shabbos. And therefore, we treat Shabbos more stringently. When it comes to all other aspects of halacha, Yisurei d'Rabbanan are treated more leniently. And that's why the Rama writes, when it comes to kosher food, there's no maris ayin for a din d'Rabbanan, only for a din d'Oraisa. We should all be zocha to be nekiyim, both me Hashem and from Yisrael. Have a wonderful evening.